It's a great story, isn't it? It's a wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. If we'd have read the chapter 3, we would have read about Jesus and Nicodemus coming to our Lord by night, part of the Jewish family, and him coming and wanting to hear about what Jesus had to teach and what he had to say. And then we go on to chapter 4, and now we see him going from the Jewish people to the Samaritan, this Samaritan woman at the well. We know the story. It was lovely to have it read. Thank you, Brian, and thank you for Thelma for bringing us the reading, that we could just listen to the story again and hear it once again for ourselves. And it must be, I hope you find it inspirational that people come to Jesus and he's willing to meet them at their point of need and then share with them, that leads them on in their lives. We see the breaking down of the barriers that Jesus is able to do, and us through him should be able to do as well. Breaking the barriers between two groups of people, breaking down the barrier between individuals and Jesus. We know the barriers. We had them read to us, but remind ourselves of us. There was the nationality and ethnic barriers that they had at those particular times, the Jew and the Samaritan. We're familiar with the fact they didn't like each other very much. They weren't keen on each other. We think of the Jews and Palestine at the moment, sort of thing, and what's happening there. But the Jews and the Samaritans were not best of friends at that particular time. They'd have nothing to do with each other. There was a lot of prejudice in that time, and one saw the other as despised people that they shouldn't have any contact with. So there was that barrier to break down. There was the religious barrier. The Samaritans had established their own temple. Jesus said to them, "You Samaritans have found other ways to worship," but wanted to bring her back to the true way. The barrier between man and woman, having anything to do with each other in that sort of particular way, in that sharing and conversation, especially in the open air. And then that physical barrier that there was. Jesus was at the well, he was resting, he was thirsty, and the barrier was he had nothing to draw up the water with. So these barriers that were there, but Jesus is able to break them down. As we look at the story, Jesus has spent a brief time in Judea and was ready to go into Galilee for what was to be a fairly lengthy ministry in Galilee. How would he go? Verse 4 said, it was read to us, now he had to go through Samaria. Now he had to go through Samaria, the scripture tells us. No, he didn't. He didn't have to go through Samaria. He didn't have to go that particular route. Any other Jew needing to make that journey would have crossed the Jordan near Jericho, down at the bottom, and he would have travelled north until he was past the Samaritan side and where the Samaritan live, and then crossed over again, over the Jordan, into Galilee. He would have gone round the area of Samaria, because he knew that if he went that way, a traveller was going that way, there was likely to be trouble for him. So he didn't have to go. I know the journey may have been a little bit longer, but he didn't have to go via Samaria, but was compelled to go. He was compelled to go by love into that region. There were people who needed to hear what he had to say. He knew that on this journey, to go via Samaria, he would have a divine appointment on the road. And Jesus wanted to take that opportunity to share in this divine appointment. We see a familiar thing in Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 26. We're not going to read all that, but it's a story of Philip. We know Philip was an evangelist, and he was led, he was compelled to go out into the desert way, and he was compelled to go and to meet up with an Ethiopian, Ethiopian. And there he would have a divine appointment on that way. Nothing else would have led him to be where he was at that particular time, except the guidance of the Holy Spirit to go out into the desert way and to meet up and to have this divine appointment that would he would share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus knew that if he went this way, the way that no other Jew would go, he was going to meet this person. Jesus knew that there would be a woman at Sychar by Jacob's well who needed the living water. And by going by the way of Samaria, he teaches us some wonderful lessons about himself, about his ministry, and about our ministry today. It teaches us, I believe, that Jesus had great insight. He knew that if he was there at that particular time, that appointment would take place. Jesus has the power to quench spiritually thirsty souls when we come to his presence and we listen to what he has to say and we take it on board for ourselves. I think it teaches us tonight that converts must become evangelists. It's not enough to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and to know of the living water that he gives us and the bread of heaven that he gives us and to hold it on to ourselves. That's not what it's about. When we receive Christ, when we come to know of all that he does and all that he means to us, converts must become evangelists. It teaches us, I believe, that an unholy past does not stop us from doing good works for Jesus Christ if we are prepared to repent and accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And I think it teaches us that the greatest gift that we can receive is the knowledge of eternal life that Jesus can give us and died for us for. And just so for a few moments this evening, let's look at those things. The insight that Jesus had, I will go by the way of Samaria. He arrived at the well, we're told, about midday. And the disciples had gone off to buy food. Why it took all of them to go off and buy food, I do not know. Jesus is left by the well. Well, we do know later on. But why it took 12 men to go down to the local supermarket and pick up some food and bring it back, I don't know. Having said that, yesterday I didn't do very well when we went shopping yesterday. I didn't do well at all, no. I could have walked out of the shop. So maybe the one with the money went and others just made sure that they got the right shopping. But the other disciples had gone off to find food. The woman, who was obviously not accepted, came during the heat of the day when no other woman would be about. Normally they would have gone in the cool of the day. The woman would have gathered around the well and had a good old natter as they're picking up the water to take it back home. This woman was an outcast from her community. And she went to fetch water at an unsociable time of the day, in the heat of the day. And there she meets with Jesus. And Jesus took this opportunity to connect with this woman who had deep personal problems. We notice straight away that Jesus didn't use direct approach. The woman would have been quick in her defense if he had done. And Jesus understood that. She would have been suspicious of a Jewish man getting into conversation with her. She had moral problems, therefore slow to become interested in things spiritual. But as they met at this well, the simple request of Jesus was to give him a cup of water. One of the barriers broken down. He'd spoken to her. He now asks her to draw up water because he doesn't have the equipment to do it. Few, if any, would be unwilling to do such a small favour for a weary traveller. And so Jesus uses his insight and just looks for the opportunity for her to do something for him. Mark chapter 9 and verse 41 talks about anyone giving us a cup of water in his name, in Christ's name, will be blessed. that simple task, that simple cast. He didn't just say, "Hey, sinner woman, come and hear what I've got to say to you." That would have been far too abrupt. That would have put her off. She probably ran a mile, ran away from the well. But no, would you get me a drink of water? And I think sometimes with us, isn't it, we want to share something with us and talk to them about spiritual things. It's like, come and have a cup of coffee. Let's go and have a cup of coffee somewhere together. And we can talk. And just in that comfortable situation that we can discuss things and talk about things. So Jesus had this insight just to how to approach the woman and how to get into conversation that he could then take it deeper. So he had insight, but he had the power to quench. You know, we know, don't we? Life cannot be satisfied with the thrills of possession of material things or power or passion. Every soul longs for something better or deeper. Some people haven't come to realize this yet, and we have, hopefully, we have realized. This woman gives the impression through her words in verse 9 of someone who is weary of life. She's sad, she's disillusioned, and she's defeated in spirit. She has not found in life what she really needed. She was despondent. She was a broken woman. And here was this person willing to share with her. And when Jesus talked to her about the living water and spiritual worship, hope began to be reawakened in her parched soul. And as she spends time with Jesus in this conversation, she begins to learn that she has a thirst that only Jesus can satisfy. You know, The woman's situation is no different to many people's situation in our world today. Look around as you go around your daily things, and we often see people who are weary of life. Life has got on top of them. They're defeated. They're sad. They're disillusioned with their things of life. They're lacking something, and yet perhaps sometimes they don't even know what they're lacking. And we have knowledge, of the living Christ who's able to quench our thirst, because this woman's experience is our experience, perhaps at some time in our life, and we came to the well and we received the living water. But it is still the experience of many people in our community, in our world today. So she came to Christ, who has the power to quench our thirst, which isn't through possessions and power and passion, but receiving Christ into our lives. And for this woman, she has this moment with destiny. We noticed how Jesus dealt with this woman. He appealed to her kindness. He appealed to her willingness to help him at this particular time. There was no one else there to help him, and he didn't have the equipment to get water from the well. And then he pointed out three important facts to her. What he had to offer. You know, you can take this water and drink it, but a little while long down the road, you're still going to be thirsty again. But I can give you living water, saying in effect, whoever continues to drink of this material water, or in perhaps in terms of our day, anything the world has to offer, whoever drinks of whatever the world has to offer will thirst again. Like, you can have as many possessions as you have. You can have a nice house, a comfortable house, but you might want a bigger house. You will thirst for a bigger house. You may have a lovely car, a wonderful car, but you will thirst again for a better car or a bigger car or a faster car. Anything, whoever drinks of the material water will thirst again. That whoever takes one drink of the water I will give will never thirst again. And as much as we try to find satisfaction in the things of this world, we will be left empty and we will be longing for more. But when we take the water of the living water, we are satisfied. How could she receive it was an important thing. By conviction, Jesus asked her to go and get her husband. Go and fetch your husband. We read that. The question was asked to make a face up to her past life, to face up to where she'd come from, to admit her wrongdoing, to admit that she hadn't always been what God wanted her to be. There must be conviction, and there must be a willingness to repent, and there must be a willing to turn away from those things that are not of God. Then there can be saving faith. And then he enlightened her with who he was. She had some spiritual awakening. I know that there will be the Christ, the Messiah. She was aware of that. And then in that wonderful moment, just the two of them, sitting by Jacob's well, I who speak to you am he. Through his words, she comes face to face with the truth about the Saviour and salvation. And in that moment, she grasped it. And at this point, the woman put her faith in Jesus Christ and was saved. I wonder if you can remember that moment. I wonder if you can remember that moment. It wouldn't have been by Jacob's well. I wonder if you can remember that moment when you came to know, I am the one, I am the Messiah, I am your Saviour who is speaking to you. What a wonderful moment when we come to know Jesus as our Saviour. However, as I said earlier, converts must become disciples and they must become evangelists and they must be willing to be people who will share what they have discovered with others who haven't discovered it yet. It's the gospel is good news to be shared. Immediately, she wanted to share her newfound faith with others. She goes back to the... She hasn't even done what she went to the well to do. She went back to her village. Come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Oh, dear me. Come and find him. And she went into the village where she wasn't particularly popular anyway, but she was willing to share. Come and see this man. Could this be the Christ? Come and see this man. Come and see a man who will know you through and through because he knows all about us and still loves us and still wants us to be his disciples and his children. Come and see a man you can trust. Come and see a man who has life's resources, living water, and he wants to share that living water with all mankind. I think possibly at times her witness and zeal puts us to shame. She got saved, she came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour. Immediately, went back to her people and shared her testimony with others. God used her simple testimony and many people came from the village to meet with Jesus at the heat of the day out there at Jacob's well. Despite her past, God uses the most unlikely person to bring practically a whole village to faith. Later on, as Jesus spends some days there, it says even more people from the village came to know of the living water. When she ran back to the village, she left her water pot at the well. She had the living water within her now, but she intended to come back. And in the meantime, the disciples or Jesus himself could have used the pot to bring up the water for the physical need. The barriers have been broken down. The barriers between Jew and Samaritan, man and woman, physical, being able to lift up the water. The barriers have been broken down. And this woman receives a new meaning to her life. She receives new hope from her life. She's no longer discouraged. She's no longer sad. She's no longer disappointed with her life. Her life has new meaning. And she uses that new meaning immediately to bring others to that knowledge. And so as we bring our thoughts to a conclusion tonight, from this story we learn that all things are possible through God's divine grace. Even if it seems difficult and even things seems unsurmountable. It shows us that no life is so sinful that it cannot be changed through receiving the living water, receiving the living Christ into their hearts and lives. We can learn tonight that it's by grace we receive forgiveness. And tonight we learn too that what we have received, what we know of Christ, the new life that we have in Christ, that I believe all of us here tonight know of and have drank of the living water. If not, that can start to happen this evening. But I believe most of us here have drank of that living water. But it's not enough to keep it for ourselves. Let us be people who live out our faith by word and by deed in the communities that we live in. Let's be people who are so had our thirst so quenched by the living water that we want to just share that with people that in our own families maybe, in our own communities, in the places that we work, in the places that we do our recreation. You see, we know of the living water, and there are people who are still thirsty and searching for their thirst to be quenched in all the wrong places. Let us be people who are willing to go out and to share what we have discovered with those who haven't. Shall we share a prayer together? Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we have within your word stories, parables, spoken word that helps us and teaches us and reaches out to us in this day and this age. We thank you for Jesus tonight. We thank you that he is the living water. He is the bread of heaven who feeds us and quenches our thirst. I thank you, Father, for this church where people have come into a knowledge of a personal Saviour over the years. For the faithfulness of the members of this congregation over the years that have reached out in different ways to help others come to discover Jesus as their personal Saviour as well. And I pray that this church will go on and continue to be a force for good in this community. And each individual will show Christ to a needy world in their own particular way. So I thank you for our worship tonight, and I thank you that we have things that we can learn and things that we must do in your name to see your will be done here on earth. So bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.